Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is here. So all you need is our prayers already checked off. The Holy Spirit is here. It's evident that is happening. So everything is here for you to be delivered from your present situation. Everything is needed. So if that's you, if no matter what this present thing it is you're going through, no matter how tough you think it is, no matter what your perspective is, it doesn't matter what that is. It doesn't matter. Isn't that great that it doesn't matter? There's no qualification for that. All you have to do is, if you're in a situation, you can come right down here to the front. Our pastoral staff will be down here. And look, I compel you to come down because the two requirements have been met. We've prayed for you. We hold you up. We speak goodness over your life. And the Holy Spirit is here to meet your need, whatever it is. So as they continue to play, come on down here to the front. We'll join our faith with yours. The only thing I ask you is, come down expecting God to do something. Come with an expectant heart and just say, Lord, I know that you have my answer. And I'm going to take my faith down here to the front, your step of faith to walk down here. And let's join our faith with you. Will you let us join our faith with you today? Please, come on down. I know there are some of you out there that have situations you're going through. I know it. Come on down. Come on down. The Lord is here.
We worship you. Give him a hand. Give him your very best. Give him your very best. Stand to your feet if you can. Stand to your feet if you can. And give him your very best. We have the Master, and he just walked into the room. The Master just walked into the room. If you can stand and give him your very best, give him your very best. How are you going to be when you see Jesus on that day? How are you going to be when you see Jesus on that day? On that great day of his appearing? I'm telling you, that song I Can Only Imagine is a true statement. I can only imagine what I will say to him, or if I will be able to speak it all into the presence. Oh, my Lord God. And I'm not saying that in vain. It's a moment that will be so overwhelming. I'll be going, Carl, we got here. Can you believe it, Pastor Mike? Pastor Carl, we actually got here. It'll be a moment we'll be sitting there so giddy. And some of you look at me and go, I can't believe you got here. I'm just saying, there'll be people there, won't there, Mike? There'll be people there, we're going, wow, God's grace is sufficient. And everybody's going to go, I know, you're here. It's going to be an overwhelming moment when we see the face of Jesus. So precious that will be. I felt led to say to you, reach out and touch him as he walks by you, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Reach out, so be so desperate you refuse to let him get by you without touching him. Refuse to let him get that far from you that you cannot touch him. Refuse. The woman, go ahead and have a seat for a second. The woman was breaking the law. Did you know that? Did you know that she's breaking the law because she had the issue of blood? She was unclean. The Bible says she was unclean. Christ was the priest. He was clean. And this unclean woman just refuses to honor the culture and the religion of the day and says, I got one hope. I got one hope. And when he gets within arm distance of me, I'm going to grab him like Elvis Presley. Come on, some of you is old enough to get that. I'm going to latch my arms around this guy. I'm going to grab. I know some of you don't like Elvis. That's okay. I'm just saying, have you seen the crowds? Okay, Michael Jackson. You name. Did you do that to me, Beth? Okay. Just think about this. Jesus was, for many, just kind of the rock star image. And they were following him because of the image. Do I need to change mics? Just bring me a mic if I need to. Okay. There were those that were following because it was a voyeuristic kind of a, hey, he's cool. Did you see what he did with that blind guy? Then that's a voyeuristic kind of, I want to watch what weird things take place around this guy. Hey, do you know evangelists fill auditoriums because people want to go and see? But this woman wasn't voyeuristic. This woman was desperate, like the song says, I am desperate for you. And she refused to let the master, the only hope she had here, to actually bring her back into society and a clean woman. She knew if she could just touch the hem of his garment, and she did. And he said, oh, who touched me? Who touched me? Who touched me? I felt the energy go out of me. That's what he said. I felt the healing energy go out of me. And all of a sudden, and I've said this to you in the past, I'm going to say it to you again. If you don't grab the significance of that moment, for the first time in all of history, when an unclean person touched a clean person, the unclean person was still clean, and the unclean person was made clean. Get that. First time in history, Jesus wasn't made unclean. He made her clean. First time in history, because the law said, if anyone touched you that was unclean, you were now unclean and you were unworthy of going in for sacrifice. Jesus, the author of sacrifice. Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus, the ultimate healer. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, stands there and says, ain't going to be anybody make me unclean. There ain't anybody gonna make me unclean. Here, let me slow down so you can grab it, sweetheart. You think he didn't? Seriously. Who touched me? I honestly believe he knew who touched him. He was trying to point something out. Somebody touched me. Somebody, and you know those disciples, they were going, oh, did that woman touch him? Just like, oh, keep the children away from Jesus. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. This is what he said. This is what modern day English. Don't you dare do anything that keeps those children from getting to me. Don't you ever let it. Don't you ever. Parents, don't do anything to a child. Grandpas, grandmas, aunts and uncles, relatives, families. Make sure you get me. You get that child to Jesus. This morning somebody let me know that my buddy, Giovanni. Where's Giovanni? Is he sitting there? Raise your hand, buddy. Raise your hand. That's my buddy, Giovanni. Giovanni. Jesus loves Giovanni. Jesus loves Giovanni's family. Jesus, this morning, mom went in to wake him up and say, we're going to church. Giovanni says, I want to sleep a little more. How old is Giovanni? Just turned 6. Listen to this. If you don't think he's not listening back in kids' church, Giovanni says, laying there on a pillow, Mommy, in kids' church, they said, Jesus goes with you wherever you go. I want to go back to sleep. He's listening. They're getting it. They're getting it in kids' church. They're getting it in kids' church. Jesus said, I'll go with you wherever you go. And that ain't even what I'm going to preach this morning. Pam, don't walk by too far. Let me give you this before I forget. Here we go. I don't care. I just want to make sure you get that. That's very important to me. There you go. Guys, aren't we honored that God actually is in the house? I want to tell you something. Where'd Pastor Mike Bowie go? That band is anointed. I've been in a lot of churches around America and around the world, and many of you have been in those churches with me. And I'm not just talking about the sound. Even though they've got an amazing sound, Pastor Mike Bowie has led this team into a worship a spirit of worship. There's an anointing upon them. And Pastor Mike, I'm grateful to you, man, for the spirit of the living God that you are allowing to flow through you in our worship time. I just want to encourage you as a church family, jump in. Get wet. I mean, get wet big time. Get wet big time. Okay, so I before I get into my message, because I want to talk to you about God help me. God help me. Anybody wake up in the morning sometimes? Oh, God help me. I'm starting a series. I started last week, just got the intro done. Okay, are you all ready to get into the Word? God help me. Oh, God. Everybody say, oh, God. So I'm not the only one in the room that's ever said, oh, God. I've been saying, oh, God, help me since October 1 of 2000, the first Sunday this church came into existence and met. I've been saying, oh, God, oh, my God, help me. There have been times I woke up in having, I'm not joking with you, there have been times that Gina can attest to, that I've awakened going in the middle of the night, weeping and calling on God for help. There have been so many times when I was so desperate for Him. And you know something? When times get good, we think we're not desperate for Him again, don't we? When the bills get paid that we needed the miracle for, we think we're not desperate for Him. Oh, I can go to Branson. I mean, not literally, but I can go some vacation place in my mind and my focus is not on Him because I'm not so desperate today. Oh, yes, we are desperate today. In fact, when we think we're not desperate, Earl, tell me if I'm wrong. If we think we're not desperate, we're more desperate than we really think. It's when we think we're not desperate that we're most desperate. Oh, I got everything. Got the right spouse, got the right income, got the car I've been dreaming of, my kids are healthy. I'll go to Branson. It's that vacation place in our spirit. We take grace vacations, don't we? Y'all know what Jeremy have, buddy. How are you, dude? You know what I'm talking about, right? We take grace vacations. We step out from the desperate place. We say, oh, well, things are good. Things are good. Everybody turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It's not even on your stuff. Leave it there. Travis, if you want to catch up with me, you can. But what all I want from you, Travis, is Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. 22 and 23. But I'm going to read this whole thing. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Everybody, just listen to me for a second. I'm going to keep reading for a second, in a second. Listen. Oh, God, I've heard this. Oh, God, teach me to love people. That Martha, I don't like her. There's nothing about her. In fact, God, I'm trying to act like I love her. That's the problem, we're acting. There's nothing authentic about it in our spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. You see, we're trying, then today I want to talk to you about God help me to love people in a way that honors you. You notice I didn't just say, love people. Get that. Get that. There's a difference. I'm trying to be nice to her. I'm trying to be loving. You know what? God would rather you not be a hypocrite about it. Just admit, I don't like that person. Now, what, have you ever gone to the doctor and the doctor says, why are you here? Oh, nothing. What are you here for? I feel good. Now you got wounds all over your face. You're all scarred up and everything. What about those wounds? Oh, that's nothing. Why are you here? Oh, I'm fine. You know what? God doesn't do the work inside of us unless we admit that we're sick. They don't put a cast on your leg unless you got a broken leg. If we sit there and say, I'm fine. I know there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. I know that I'm fine. And so there's no reason for me to be in the medical office today. Well, then why are you here? See, the problem is we're not confessing that we have sin or confessing that we have issues. I told you about the time Kristen came down the hall and looked at me and said, Dad, you have issues. I'm laying in bed. She walked back down the hall. I said, Sissy, come back. Come back down here. I want to know what my issues are. She comes back down the hall. First of all, you can't hear anything. And you won't admit you can't hear anything. She walked back down the hall. I said, what? Come back down here. Come back down the hall. Fathers, provoke not your children to, you know. Anyway. See, the problem is when we're acting like, and today we're going to focus on God help me to love others in a way that honors you. I have a family member that used to work at Macy's, and they used to get the friendly badge. The friendly badge. You got a friendly. Because somehow somebody said you were nice to them. I just have a problem. Should Christians have to act nice? Shouldn't that come by living by the Spirit and not gratifying the desires of the sinful nature? For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, and so you do what you don't want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In other words, your spirit's free. It's actually free. Your spirit, you know what a free spirit feels like? Wow, I'm going to tell you something. When I used to know the top 10 sins, and I could tell you everybody that was going to heaven or going to hell. Because you know, he does this. And then God set me free and actually showed me grace and mercy. Oh, compassion? Oh, well, let me get into this. Here we go. He said, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord. Hatred is a part of our flesh. Ah. Hatred. It's the acts of the sinful nature, the word says. Jealousy, fits of rage. Oh. Wow. It is a fallen human nature, is exactly right. It's the fall of man. It's the nature that we landed with when great, 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 great granddaddy Adam fell. You see, we all have the ability to hate. We all have the ability to hate. I said, we all have the ability to hate. Selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Oh, he said it in church. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, let me talk to you about that. God's will is that none should perish. Okay, so let me deal with that issue. He didn't say, if you've ever done it, you're not going to inherit the kingdom. What he's saying, if you refuse to come out of those things, now then he's going to, they will be separate, you'll be separated, and I'll be separated from God. Those who choose man's way versus God's way will deal with that in judgment one day. But listen to what he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, you notice he doesn't just leave it there, because there's hope, because I don't have to live like that. You see, I don't have to try to love somebody. I don't have to try to love somebody. Listen to what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Pastor Mike was on this morning. He didn't have a clue I was going here. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, the law doesn't make you do those things. This is a grace issue. This is a Jesus issue. When you meet the real Jesus and you start getting next to him and living by the Spirit, you don't have to try to love somebody. All of a sudden, the Spirit of the living God, Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 takes over. There's a changing of our minds. And it's literally that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to him. And then he literally changes our minds, changes our thinkings, right, Pastor Harvey? Against things, such things, there's no law. In other words, they're not going to make you do this. This is a grace thing. This is a Spirit thing. It says, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking envying of each other. Now, I may have you turn quickly to John chapter 15. Listen, remember last week I was talking about the secret to the this thing that God wants to put in us, the secret to it is not us trying, is not us trying hard. It's not about us mustering up something inside us to do the right thing. Listen to what John writes about that, where Jesus is speaking. Jesus says, I am. Everybody say, I am. Do you know in Hebrew, those are actually forbidden words for you and I to say? I am. It was forbidden for Jesus to say that, by the way. And Jesus did. He said, I am. I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You see, it's all about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Can I tell you what Dan Betzer said one time? He was talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I love Dan Betzer. God bless him. He was a white-haired old man when he said this, and I was in the room when he said it. He said, I know people who don't have enough power in their own lives to blow their own nose, but they speak in tongues every day. Give me somebody that lives the fruit of the Spirit, and we can work with that. God's not impressed with our tongues. It's about living in the vine. Listen to what he says. You are already clean because the word I have spoken to you. Wow. I'm not clean because I don't hate. I'm not clean because I don't commit adultery. I'm not clean because I don't do the top 10 sin. I'm clean because the word spoke me clean. Get that. Get that concept. It's not because I haven't lusted. Oh, my God. You know, when I was raised, the era that I was raised in, it was not Pastor Shockley's teaching. It was not my mom and dad's teaching. But the era that I was raised in, you know, it was one of those things. If you lust, your name is out of the book of life now. There was no grace period. Even the bank gives more grace than that. Bank gives me 10 days. To get it right. Think of that. Man has more grace than that. Y'all with me still? Have I offended all the Assembly of God people in the room yet? Okay. Isn't it great that I am clean because the Word spoke me clean? Because I love Jesus, and the more I love Jesus, the more he speaks this thing into me to love people in a way that honors him. So the secret isn't trying to love people more and putting all that energy into loving people more. The secret is loving Jesus more. Getting into the vine, hugging up to the vine, and getting some of that fruit. I mean, the fruit that's born off of that nourishment that flows through my spirit. If I'm living in the Spirit, get that. If I'm living in the Spirit, I have crucified the sinful nature. That's what Paul wrote in Galatians 5. When I'm hugging up to the one, Jesus, all of a sudden that stuff, that thing that flows, the blood that flows through my veins are the blood of mercy, grace, compassion. And all of a sudden you stop, and it's what I went through. Years ago, I came off the throne of judgment. All of a sudden, I realize something. His name's on the judgment seat of Christ, not mine. I was sitting. Have you ever gone into a wedding? Gone into a wedding, and you're at the head table. You know, and you sit down. And all of a sudden, you're looking. You're sitting where the groom's supposed to sit. It ain't my seat. It's not my seat. I'm actually stealing the seat from the groom. Who is Jesus? The groom. Who are we? The bride. And he's calling us to hug up and get intimate with him. You see, it's not about loving someone more that, oh, I can't stand that person. I'll try and love them more. God help us. If that's what the church is relying on us to do better. No. The fruit is born out of the fact that we're connected to the vine. And all of a sudden, the Spirit starts kicking in when somebody does something that irritates you or hurts you or wounds you. It's a choice to be wounded. It's a choice to forgive. And I'm telling, this is what Jesus is saying. If you're hugging up to me, it will be more natural to you to forgive. It will be actually the more natural thing for you. It's not natural in your flesh. Your flesh is still going to rise up and say, do you know what they did to me? Here's the worst one. Do you know what they did to my child? Oh. I've met some mama bears in my life. I've met some mama bears in my life. And y'all of you girls that are mothers, every one of you qualify as a mama bear. Every one of you. You hurt my child. You know, Superman, the X-ray, you know, the goes right through. You know, can I tell you something? There is one who is more of a defender for your child than you will ever be. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Lord Supreme. He is the one that every king will bow down to. And everyone that ever hurts your child, if they don't repent, they'll see Jesus. You don't have to defend your child. You got a greater defender around your child. His name is Jesus. And he places the angelic host around your children. Are you praying? God's just hedge, put a hedge of protection around my children. I know what time is it? That's 10 o'clock. I got good time, guys. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, listen, if you remain in me, if a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. The fruit I just read to you from Galatians 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Get that? I didn't say that. Jesus said that. We can't love people. Do you know that even the most wretched person on the earth, if they loved, do you know that love is actually born from heaven? Because the word says God is love. Now, just because they're adulterating it doesn't mean that the essence of love didn't come from God. God is the only reason we can love each other. God is the birthplace of all love, pure love that takes place. And remaining in the vine, in other words, it's really about getting more intimate with Christ, not about all that energy going into not hating someone. I bet Janice has some stories to tell. Janice hates when I mention her name. I bet Janice has some stories to tell. I've got some stories to tell. There were people that I despised early in my life. And you know what? When we gave birth to this church, God sent me to three people that I had offended. And how many of you remember me telling that story? How many of you remember? You were here. God sent me to three people I had to ask forgiveness from because I held something against them. And I found them. The last one I ran into in Sam's up in North St. Charles. And I was looking at this person. I was like, and they're coming at me with a massive cart. You see, the Spirit was doing work inside of me. The Spirit was doing. Do you know why the Spirit does work inside of you? Because He refuses to let you be separated from God. Isn't that awesome? He refuses to let you be cut off like a bad branch. He wants to prune. Jesus' words, He wants to prune us, and all of a sudden Jesus is pruning me in Sam's, and I'm not expecting I'm going to see this person, and I'm looking them right in the eyeballs, and I said, okay, God, here it is. And I stopped that cart. I said, hey, how are you doing? We began to have a conversation, and I said, I'm going to tell you something. I have had you on my mind for a long time. And I did you wrong. And I need to ask you to forgive me. One of those men stood on this stage. And we honored him by putting his name on that wall last week. But I had to go to him because I know that my heart wasn't right then towards him. Do you know there's a young man today that's in ministry? Guard that. There's a young man in ministry. His name is Sid. Sid worked in our hairstyling shops right next to us. Sid Manis. Between my sister-in-law and Sid, they did all of Pastor over at New Life, Pastor Rome, all that family's hair. Good people, godly people, the Romes. But Sid was, you know, Sid was one of those guys. Honestly, I'm going to just be honest with you. I'm going to bare my heart to you because I'm not proud of it. It is just, it's where I was. And I want you to know, I don't judge you. If you're having a struggle with loving people, I don't judge you because I've been there. Sid, I couldn't stand him. Sid got under my skin every week, every day of the week. Sid got under my skin. I got under Sid's skin. Sid couldn't stand me either. So we had a mutual thing going here. I was the Christian that hated the sinner. I had a sinner that hated the Christian. Who was more out of character? And I mean, it's honest to God, this is exactly, there's no evangelistically speaking here. We didn't care for each other at all. We'd argue about anything. Call my dad, try and figure out how we're going to resolve this issue. Make the story short. Somebody tell me what time it is. Thank you. On October 27th, 1987, my brother was killed by a drunk driver. On his 28th birthday. I'll bring it up to when we were at the funeral home. I walked in. You've heard me tell the story. Many of you have heard me tell the story. When I walked into that funeral home, I was standing there by my brother's casket and my mom, my dad, Brian, and actually Megan was just a baby, but she was there. She was just about 18 months old. She was there. Megan, BJ loved Megan. Loved her. And we're all standing there by this casket up in Florissant. In walks Sid. Sid walks up to me at the sight of that casket, tears streaming down his face. And he puts his arms around me. He said, "Dude, I am so sorry. I am so sorry." And he's just weeping. And I put my arms around him. And I want to tell you the miracle that took place on that day when the sinner taught the believer how to love. Y'all get the picture? I'm not proud of that moment. I don't live in shame over it anymore, but that's the truth of what took place. The sinner taught the believer how to love without end. He put his arms around me and he just stood there and held me at the side of that casket. And he just wept and he wept and he wept. He said, "Do you mind?" Because our shops were still open. He said, "Do you mind if I come and just close the shop that day? And can I come to the funeral?" I said, I would be honored if you would. And Sid, if you and Kelly would sit next to us as a family. That would mean so much to me. And Sid came to that funeral and he sat by us as a family. At the end of that day, or at the end of that funeral, we were loading, Brian and I were on each side of the casket and we were loading the casket into the hearse. I felt it. A touch on my left shoulder. He said, "Dude." If you wonder why I say "dude" so much, it's because I was around that dude for so many years. He's a good looking dude, man, I'll tell you. Good. So he says, "Dude, do you mind if I come to church with you on Sunday?" He said, "If I can feel that good in there at a funeral, can I come to church with you on Sunday?" Long story short, Sid gave his life and Kelly gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I mean, a few weeks later on a Sunday morning, Sid looks at me and says, "Did you hear that?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I just heard a voice to my left." Nobody's on his left, and he hears a voice to his left say, "I'm calling you to a life of ministry." I said, "What?" And that's what he told me. That's what he told me. I said, "Are you serious?" And he said, "I'm just telling you what I heard, and there's nobody over here. I want to know, did you hear it?" I said, "No. And I'm mad because I never heard that." Sid went into Global University, graduated with an ordination for the Assemblies of God, pastored a church that had five locations in Lincoln, Nebraska, was the director of Reach Nebraska for the entire Assemblies of God. Sid also is partnering with Rex today at the church that he was pastoring at down. He is the senior pastor at the Christ Life Church down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And Sid and Kelly have been amazingly serving Jesus Christ, raising up Christians, raising up leaders, because God stepped into a moment and refused to let me be cut off from him. Y'all get the picture? You see, it wasn't about trying to love Sid. It was about being available to an intimate moment where Jesus hugged me through the sinner at the sight of my brother's casket. I had no fight left in me. You see, that's where God wants us to be. Get ready. God wants us to be where there's no fight left in us against him. This is not about loving other people. This is about loving God more than you've ever loved him with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. That's about falling in love with him. When you fall in love with Jesus, the hate, it will just dissipate. And mercy, compassion, the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, all those fruits of the Spirit will just start rolling out because you will be connected intimately to the vine. Bow your heads with me if you would. Heavenly Father, for those who struggle with love, no judgment here, God. No judgment here. I know I did. I know I have. I know I did. But God, pushing towards you intimately is the goal. More of Jesus, not more love. It's more of Jesus. It's not a decision to treat somebody like I love them. It's a decision to love Christ and Christ alone, passionately, more intimately, running to you, getting in your word, learning who you are, the letting you speak into me the forgiveness of where I get it wrong so many times. God, that's what it's about. No one's head is up. No one's looking around. If that's you, you just want to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where you sit. If that's you, raise your hand. I just want more of Jesus. That's bottom line. I just want more of Jesus. Yeah, I see hands. Thank you. I'm seeing hands all over. Yes, I see hands all over this room. I just want more of Jesus. I'm not going to focus on loving someone more. I'm going to focus on Jesus more. Now, that's the issue. Anyone else? Just keep your hands up. No one's looking around. No one's looking around. Okay. For those that have their hands raised or wish they would have their hands raised. Now, if you're mad at me, you're going to have to get through that first. But it's about Jesus. It's not about you being a better you and loving more. It's about loving Christ more intimately and remaining in the vine. And you being that fruit-filled branch. Father, for those that raise their hand, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you will so passionately run after their heart. Pull them towards you. Put your arms around them like you used Sid to do with me. And love on them. Love on them. God, pull them into an intimacy, an intimate hug like they have never experienced before with you. You, God, be that Sid that you sent to me that day and change the heart through love. Change their heart through your love because only through you is that fruit ever born. In the name of Jesus Christ, give the Lord an amazing hand. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.